Good morning. Well, many of you are beginning to get to know me because Pastor King's given me the opportunity to be up front and preach a little more often. My name is Andrew Pennington. I am the junior high student pastor here at Cherrydale Baptist Church. And I have to be honest, this morning was a real dilemma as I was getting dressed because my Transformer t-shirt was in the laundry, and so I wasn't sure what I would be preaching in today. For those of you who have no idea what just happened, several weeks ago I had the privilege of preaching, and we looked at how God looks at our heart versus the outward appearance, and how God is concerned with us being who He intended us to be more than doing. And so I wore my favorite t-shirt. But today, it's so hot outside, I decided to go without the jacket. So, and one of the things that I've enjoyed about getting the chance to preach is that I've had the chance to share my family a little bit with you, that you've gotten to see and hear a little bit about my wife, Cassie, and our two kids, Carissa and Justin. And I love them dearly. And one of the things that Cassie and I are really looking forward to is hopefully traveling with our kids, taking our kids to different places so they could see God's beautiful creation, see the awe and wonder of God, to meet different people, experience different cultures, see God at work all throughout this world. But the difficulty sometimes is language barriers. You know what that can be like going to a different culture and you don't speak the language. They do put out these handy-dandy, not so little, but like Spanish to English, English to Spanish dictionaries, or German to English, English to German. But sometimes it's still difficult to communicate in another culture, even with this. And you guys know what it's like when you try to use one of these books and you know, excuse me, sir, where is the bathroom? And instead I ended up saying, excuse me, sir, you smell like a bathroom. You know, some things happen in the translation and trying to communicate. And sometimes our words that we have in our language really don't express what we're trying to say. For example, a lot of us know that, you know, the New Testament of the Bible was written in Greek. And they have many words to describe love. And it brings out different aspects of the word love. And yet, in our English language, we have love. So I love people, I love pizza, I love everything. So there can be real difficulty in trying to communicate. And the problem is, when we try to communicate across some of these language barriers, there ends up being mistranslations, misinterpretations. We make mistakes, we miss the point, we don't understand what was truly intended. I believe that this might actually be true of Christianity here in America as well. You see, that we use our American culture and try to translate God and His Word through this American culture. And the problem is, when we do that, oftentimes we end up mistranslating, misinterpreting, and misperceiving what God was trying to truly tell us. And I can't think of a better example than the way we look at God's blessings. We've missed it big time, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at lost in translation, the misperception of God's blessing. Let's bow in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we come before You and recognize that, God, we are blessed to live here in America. But Father, we have to be so careful that we don't use our American understanding as the lens to translate You and understand You. God, I pray that this morning that You would open our hearts and our minds to see You for who You truly are, to understand Your blessings for what they really are, God. Father, I pray that You would use Your Spirit to take the words that I share this morning, that they would be of and from You, and that You would use them to penetrate the hearts of those that are here this morning. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned, I believe that we have mistranslated, misinterpreted, and misperceived God's blessings because of our American culture. You see, we have tons of freedoms, we have material wealth, and we have what we call the American dream. And a lot of us talk about the pursuit of the American dream. And most of you could probably even quote this line. This is from the Declaration of Independence. And it says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The American dream: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To have comfort and ease in life, for us to have material possessions, to be pampered in life, to have a home. That's one of the American dreams, is for us to own a home, to have long-term financial security. And we feel like we deserve these things. That the American dream is something that each one of us deserves and is within our reach. And in this model, the American dream, I think what happens is we believe the good guys always win, right? And we're the good guys. We believe that in whenever we go to war against somebody. We believe that in our own lives. And it trickles in every part of our life. Cassie and I love to read Bible stories to our children. And it's interesting that the stories that have been selected and the way that they talk about certain stories in this beginner's Bible. Because most of the time, it always talks about how when we love God, then God takes care of us and everything works out in the end. You know, it always puts it together in this nice, neat little package. And the stories that they choose are stories such as David and Goliath, where David has faith in God, and in the end, David wins. God, you know, exalts him and carries him through. Or what about with Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel obeyed God, not men, and God delivered Daniel. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as the VeggieTales calls it, Shackrack and Benny. And that, you know, in the end, when you honor God, it works out. And you're spared. And God gives you life and all these things. These are the stories. And I don't think we're much different as adults. Even though we've got the whole book, we like to pick and choose which ones we read. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm not going to read all the chapter, but Hebrews chapter 11 is what we like to call the hall of faith. You know, these amazing men and women of faith who trusted God, and we see how God worked in and through their lives and what God does. You know, and we love the story of Joseph, where Joseph goes through all this tremendous difficulty, but in the end, he's exalted, he gets the money, he gets power and prestige, and yes, he uses it for God's honor and glory, but we like to think that we're going to be in the same boat. But in reading Hebrews 11, I find that I often stop short, and I don't read the very end of the chapter where it says in verses 35 through 39, it says, "There are others who trusted God who were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked, their backs were cut open with whips, others were chained in dungeons." Yeah, that one didn't make it into Carissa's beginner's Bible. "Some died by stonings, some were sawed in half, others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and in holes in the ground." And all these people, from the very beginning, through the people that we just read, received God's approval because of their faith. You see, God was pleased in both situations. I would say that that later group didn't really experience the American dream. They didn't experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, for us, I think what happens is as life is going smooth, we've been given a lot of things, we feel like, wow, God, thank you for blessing me. And then the second something happens, whether it be financial issues or difficulty in life, we start to say, whoa, God, what's going on? This doesn't match up with the American dream. This doesn't match up with what I believe is supposed to happen in my life. And we get frustrated with God. And we get confused with God. In order for us to truly understand and interpret God's blessings, we have to look at the beginning. We have to look at some difficult things. It's not the things that we enjoy talking about, but we have to look at our human reality. Our human reality. Now, we're going to look at some verses that chances are most of us have heard before, and we easily could gloss over them. We could easily say, oh yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. But stop and think about this. See, the human reality is that we deserve death. We deserve death. And we see it all throughout the book of Romans. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. Every single one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wage of that sin is death. Think about a wage. A wage is something that you earn. You go to work, you have a wage. You've earned that. Well, what we earn and what we deserve is death. Now, a lot of times we like to gloss over that and say, yeah, I know, I deserve death. But the reality is we truly deserve death. We don't deserve the American dream. We don't deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As Merritt Anderson, one of my brothers here that works here, he has this saying is, what we really deserve is a big, fat, one-way ticket to hell. That's what we deserve. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. That's our reality. You see, I don't deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't deserve 2.5 children, a fenced-in backyard, and a dog, the American dream. I don't deserve prosperity, wealth. I deserve death. And not only do we deserve death, the human reality is that we really have no rights or entitlements. We have no rights or entitlements. Now, I know that that flies in the face of our American culture. I mean, we have an entire judicial system to talk about, don't violate my rights. But if we boil it down and we look at our true human reality, that we deserve death, that truly we have no rights and entitlements. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm not going to have you turn there, but later on, jot down Philippians chapter 2 and spend some time reading that, because it talks about this. It talks about how God sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus says, even though I am fully God, I do not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And it says that we are called to have the same attitude of Christ, the same attitude as Christ. Christ humbled himself. And it says in the New Living Translation, which I love, is that he set aside his rights. He did not demand or cling to any of his rights. And instead, he humbled himself and became a man. And not only did he humble himself, but he was obedient to God and died on a cross for us to pay that penalty of sin. And see, the interesting thing is, here's Jesus. Jesus, who is fully God, sets aside his rights. He has rights. He has the right to be honored, to be glorified, to be elevated. He has the right to be worshiped. He has the right to own all these things. And yet he sets that all aside and does not demand or cling to them. On the flip side, there's you and me. I am not God. I don't have any of those rights. And yet, I tend to live like I do. And even if I do have some rights that I perceive here, I'm called to have the same attitude as Christ, who sets aside those and does not demand or cling to any of those rights. So the reality, in comparison to the American dream, is that we deserve death, and we really have no rights or entitlements. I don't deserve the American dream. And that's frustrating to me sometimes. It's frustrating to me sometimes when I feel like I'm serving God and I live in an area where all this money is and I can't afford to buy a house. Where at times when my vehicle's breaking down, I'm not sure if I can afford to get another vehicle or what I should do in that situation. And there's times where I feel like, God, this isn't fair. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I have to go back to understanding I really don't deserve any of these things. And you see, God's really not that concerned about the American dream. That's not his priority for my life. So let's take a look at what is God's desire in comparison to the American dream. Well, first and foremost, I believe that God longs to conform us to the image of Christ. You see, he wants us to have a relationship with Christ and become like Christ. It says in Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God's concerned about. So what in the world does it mean to be conformed to the image of Christ? I believe that it means he longs to change our hearts. It means that he wants to change our character from within. It means he wants to change our motivations. It means he wants us to see things the way God sees things, to honor God. And remember, Christ totally submitted himself to God the Father and was obedient even to the point of death. And God longs for that in my life, to be obedient to whatever it is that he calls me to, no matter what, even maybe to the point of death. Well, that's not part of the American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But see, God's more concerned about transforming us and making us more into the image of Christ than he is about us experiencing the American dream. And secondly, I believe that God really longs for us to glorify him for who he is, not for what he does. God wants us to glorify him for who he is and not for what he does. The book of Job is, I believe, the perfect example of this. Oftentimes we like to go to the book of Job to say, you know, here's a man who was a good, godly man, went through a lot of difficult things. And we say, okay, well, this book helps us understand why bad things happen to good people. Yeah, the problem is we just looked at the human reality and there's really not good people. The reality is we're a bunch of people deserving of death who really have no rights and entitlements. And I don't think that's what the book of Job is trying to express. You see, the book of Job is actually talking about, will you honor me for who I am, regardless of what I do, regardless of having the material wealth and the blessings in that sense, will you still glorify and honor me? This message in the book of Job became so real to me at probably one of the most difficult times in my life. You see, our little boy Justin is now 17 months old. But 17 months ago, when he was born, he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. When they began to deliver him, they found out that that was the case. They cut the cord, and now he was without a life supply. But he was stuck because his shoulders were so big. By the time they pulled him out, he was limp and blue. They had to resuscitate him, and they rushed him off into a NIC unit. And we didn't get to see him for hours. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And they would come back and say, well, here's what we think's happening, but it could be this, this, and this. Cassie and I were exhausted. He had to stay in a NIC unit. We weren't able to be with him. And I went home that night, and I laid in my bed by myself. And I remember sitting there saying, God, why would you do this? This isn't fair. Why would you do this to Justin, and why would you do this to Cassie and I? Why would you let him go through this? Even to the point, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I'm just be honest, I felt like I was raising my fist at God saying, God, I hate you for what you're doing. I love you because I know you're God, but I hate what you're doing. And then I felt like God opened up the book of Job in my heart as I laid there, and he said, just like Job, so you're the one who understands everything that's going on? You're the one who has this all figured out? You're the one who's put the sun and the moon and the stars in their place? You're the one that keeps everything in control? You're the one that holds it in your hand? You're the one that created these enormous mountains? And you're the one, Andrew, who can actually measure this creation with the span of your hand? No. So make sure you understand who I am and know that I am in control. And you know, I didn't have a right to Justin. Justin was not mine. Yes, in a physical sense he was. But in a much bigger sense, he was truly God's child, not mine. And God has the ability to choose. And I am not saying that God didn't recognize the pain and the grief that I was going through. I believe that he did. He understood. But you see, I started to glorify God for what he does and not for who he is. Now, God was gracious for Cassie and I, and Justin is completely healthy now. He only spent a week there. But if God would have chosen to take Justin, would I still say this? There's times where I don't know because I wrestle with this. But I do know that God longs for me to glorify him for who he is and not what he does. Do I worship the blessing? Is that what I'm concerned about? Or am I more concerned with the blesser, the one who is giving the blessing? And do I trust the one who gives the blessing to choose to do that in the best way? And see, the problem is when we don't begin to understand these truths and we translate God through the American dream and the American culture, when God doesn't come through for us the way we expected, we get very frustrated. We feel like God has let us down and we get angry at God. So we have to understand truly what God's desires are. It's to conform us to the image of Christ and for us to glorify him for who he is and not just what he does. So then what are the blessings of God? Well, first of all, I think it's important that we understand that faith is necessary to receive blessings. Faith is a crucial piece. Ephesians 2:8 says it's for grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Do you see, God lavished us with the ultimate blessing through Christ. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins because we deserve death. And through faith, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we receive salvation. We receive eternal life. We receive life now. It's through faith. And God's blessings do not always come in the form of the American dream. God's blessings do not always come in the form of the American dream. And in fact, I would venture to guess that most of God's blessings do not come in the form of the American dream of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The wealth, the comfort, the ease. But instead, like I mentioned, it's the ultimate blessing of salvation. And with that, the moment that I put my faith in him, I received so much of God's blessings. It says that I received every spiritual blessing. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, the moment that I believed, I received hope. I received peace. I received God's Spirit living within me. I received a purpose now for my life. I received true relationships with other believers. I received a spiritual healing. Man, God showered his blessings out on me the moment I believed. Sometimes his blessings do come in the form of the American dream. He can do that. Cassie and I, as I was sharing with her, poor lady, she has to listen to the sermon twice because I've already preached it once to her. But in doing so, she said, "Are you sure you want to share this story?" And I said, "No, I think I do." You see, because when we get ready to do a sermon series, you have to put in like months in advance what you're going to preach on and the verses and things like that. And I was like, man, this is something that God was really working on my heart about, coming to a place where I could truly just say, "God, I'm sorry that I'm pursuing things other than you, that I worship what you do and what you give more than who you are." And I was going through a time in my life where I was saying, "God, you know, I'm a pastor, and why is money so tight? You know, shouldn't, if I'm being obedient and I'm serving you, shouldn't things work out right? Shouldn't I be getting a little bit of this American dream?" And I came to a place where I said, "God, I'm so sorry that you have blessed me. I have so much. You've given me a beautiful wife, two children that are healthy. You've given me a home to live in, even though I don't own it. And it's bigger than most people have. You've given me two vehicles. You've given me all these things. God, please forgive me." And so I came to a place where I was very content and said, "Okay, God, I worship you for who you are, not what you do, not the American dream. The next day, I came home from work, and Cassie said, you're not going to believe this. We got a check for $500 in the mail. We weren't expecting this check. This was not money that we deserved or anything like that. It was money that the government actually owed us that we didn't know about. And it was like God hit me over the head saying, you know what? I don't have to, but I can. And it wasn't, you know, the danger in sharing that story is that you say, oh, okay, well, you became content. And as soon as you really gave it over to God, then all of a sudden, now you get it. No, because he didn't have to do that. And if he didn't, I still am called to be content and still honor and worship God for who he is. But he can. And sometimes he chooses to do so, and that's okay. Either way, God is still good. The problem is we don't want to confuse and translate God through this American dream so that if he doesn't give us some of those things, that we look at God and say, God, you're letting me down, and I'm frustrated with you. A third point is that God's blessings are present during the difficult times. God's blessings are poured out during the difficult times. Blessings are not contingent on our circumstances. You see, we're looking for comfort and ease of life, but that's not it. You see, because even during the difficult times, I have salvation, the ultimate blessing. I have hope. I have a peace. I have a purpose. And God uses all those things to honor and glorify him. You know, when Justin was in the NIC unit, God's blessings were being poured out on us. And you know those godly men that I spoke about from Hebrews 11 that were sawed in half, who were beaten and tortured? I believe that they were probably most fully alive and experiencing God's blessings, even in the midst of all that, because they understood. Now, sometimes we like to make this a little more spiritual and say, well, if I'm obedient, if I'm really putting my faith and trust in God and I'm being obedient, then I'll really get the blessings. Like blessings in the way of like material wealth or prosperity and ease, comfort. That's not always the case. Because you see, there's a lot of men and women who are very godly, living out what God intended, who are going through very difficult things and are experiencing God's blessings. For example, we look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And at the time that he baptized Jesus, we get this amazing picture of where we hear God the Father say, this is my son, who I am well pleased. And we see a dove come down. I'm guessing that's probably Jesus if all that happened. Well, John the Baptist finds himself in a prison cell, about to be killed. And suddenly he's saying, ooh, are you really Jesus then? Is this what I signed up for? So he sends a messenger to Jesus to find out. Now, Jesus doesn't even go back personally. Jesus sends somebody back to say, yep, this is Jesus. He's healing people. Miracles are happening. It's amazing what's going on right now. By the way, blessed is the man who doesn't stumble or fall away because of me. He's saying, by the way, you're about ready to get your head put on a platter. Are you still going to worship and honor me for who I am? John the Baptist was a godly, obedient man and found himself in a difficult situation, and yet he was receiving God's blessings. Blessed is the man who doesn't fall away because of me. Or how about Peter and John? Peter is speaking with Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And then he says, Peter, I want you to take care of these people. But Peter, by the way, you're going to also experience a very difficult death. You're going to be drug away and go through some very difficult times. I love Peter's response because it's what I would have said. Peter's like, okay, how about John? What's going to happen to him? Because if that's what's going on with me, like, we're in the same boat, right? A little equality here, right? And Jesus responds by saying, this is a paraphrase, that's none of your business. What I choose to do with John could be different with what I choose to do for you. I could actually maybe allow him to live until I return. Either way. Obedience in itself does not guarantee the American dream. And we see this in our own lives. At times in our life where we feel like, God, we're serving you and we are seeking you, so why are things going the way they are? You know, recently I shared with you about a woman who was diagnosed with cancer. We found out that it's worse than we realized, that she has what they call stage 3, and it's a very aggressive form of cancer. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if she's going to live or not. This woman is one of the most godly women I know. In many ways, she's like another mom to me, a spiritual mom to me. And I think, God, why would you do this? She doesn't deserve this. God, she's so obedient and serves you. Don't put her through this. And her family, God. And as I talk with her, she says, it's okay. Because I am totally blessed. God has given me a peace beyond what I could ever understand. God has given me hope and comfort. You see, she gets it. She understands. God gives us such a beautiful picture of what this is to look like in our lives in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. You see, God calls me to trust in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And it's like I'm planted, so no matter what happens around me, so whether there's drought, heat, I still flourish. I think in our American culture, because we believe that life is supposed to be easy and we're supposed to receive certain things, that when life gets tough, we shrivel up and we say, why are you doing this, God? That's not God's picture for our lives. And I believe that other cultures probably have a better handle on this than we do, understanding God and his blessings. And we could learn so much from them. You see, they understand that it's about God and who he is, not what he does. They understand that it's not about the pursuit of life, liberty, or happiness. So we have to take a look at ourselves and examine ourselves and say, how are we perceiving God's blessings? How are we approaching God? Are we looking at God as the vending machine and asking him to just give things to us? Or are we going to look at him for who he is? And if we've been more focused on the blessing than the blesser, then we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us and to change our hearts and to really evaluate. You know, I would encourage you to count your blessings. Yes, material blessings, but more so your spiritual blessings. And evaluate in your life, if those material blessings were taken away, would you still worship and honor and glorify God for who he is? And would you recognize that his blessings are being poured out in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and are so grateful that we do have the freedoms we do have in the United States. Father, I thank you for godly men and women around this world who have put their faith and trust in you and do not waver. They're like a tree planted by the stream. Father, that even though that maybe life and liberty and a pursuit of happiness is stripped away, Father, they have a joy and a peace in you. And Father, they don't look at you and say, God, why are you doing this? I'm angry at you, God. But they say, God, may you be praised and honored. Father, I pray that you would do a work in our church and our hearts, God, that we would come to recognize and understand you for who you are and for your blessings the way they truly are, God. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for clinging to the blessings. Father, that I long for those more than I long for you sometimes. Father, thank you for your blessings. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.